The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, welcome once again to my program Afternoons with Mike, and it's so great to have a young lady on the phone with me today that I met for the very first time, and she's actually going to be coming on our air on all of our stations the first weekend in October. It's Jill Taylor, and it is great to have you with us. I'm going to let you introduce what you do at Choose Life Radio Network, and you are involved in many different ways all about life. So first of all, Jill Taylor, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Mike. It's a delight to be with people who are listening as well. I love that you have such a Christian influence for those who are wanting to hear more and more of that. So in these times especially, this is great that you do this ministry.
Well, these times are some of the most weird times in all of our life. Oh, I tell you, I just every day we do this show, it's an hour each day, and you know, all of our lives changed last spring, end of winter, and we're all hoping that, speaking of life, that life will return to what we cherished and loved and obviously took for granted back in the day. But I'm grateful to God for the signs that He's giving us and the fact that the resiliency of His people, as long as we keep our eyes on Him, He's going to keep us in what He describes in the Word as perfect peace. I know that to be the case. So, Jill, you are a person, obviously, a host of your own radio program. Before we get into all of that and how it's going to be coming over to us here on the Shepherd radio stations in Orlando, Ocala, and Gainesville, and all of the communities in between, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let me just say I'm very excited about coming to Florida, literally, as well. I'd love to be there and visit, especially in the winter. So I'll figure out a way to meet you at that point.
Yes, you have to come up and be in the studio here.
Yeah. Well, I have a relatively typical story of being a pastor's child, growing up in a home where my father had his doctorate in philosophy at USC, and then I was the third child born, and right after I was born, we moved to Kentucky, to Wilmore, where my father served there as a professor for a number of years, and then we went back to California. So when I'm a California girl, and then I've lived in California most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But my father, Robert Schuller, had a father who was relatively successful on the radio, Robert P. Schuller the First, and he had a big church in Los Angeles, Trinity Methodist Church, and his son Jack also helped there, as well as my dad, Bob Schuller, and needless to say, we were in church every time the doors were open, and I have a lot of wonderful memories as a child there. We moved back to, or moved to Santa Ana when my dad left that church, and there my dad served most of his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So a child who sees their father and adores their father often falls in love with their father almost as their Christ symbol, if that makes any sense at all. But since Dad often did evangelistic services with his father and with Uncle Jack, I'm pretty sure I went to the altar at least 15 times before I was 10. I was always convicted because I was not a very good child, my mother said. So getting in trouble caused me to be at the altar, I think. But we had an amazing youth director in that church. He was previously a Marine, Vern Romain, a wonderful example of a Christ follower. And I was blessed to be in his youth groups And, of course, we sang in the choir, and my mother played the organ and the piano without music or with music. It didn't matter. She had perfect pitch. It always drove me crazy because I would practice the piano, and she'd go, no, from the kitchen, B flat, Jill. And I'd be really ticked that she knew what it was I was supposed to be playing.
So when you're talking about true perfect pitch, able to pick that note out of thin air like that.
Exactly. And it drove her crazy if someone handed her music and then wanted it in a different key because she could hear it in the key that she was seeing. And so she just had to look at it a few times and then she'd put the paper away because she was really quite amazing. And that's always a gift to a pastor, to have a wife who plays the organ and the piano. And so it was a family deal. So then when I was getting ready to go to college, graduated high school and was ready to go to college, and my parents were in the throes of talking about divorce, and it was very, very disturbing. My brother was already at Taylor University. My sister had graduated and stayed away, my older sister. And then I had a sister 10 years younger than I, and Jan Laurel was about 10 when this took place. And it just destroyed my picture of a Christian home, for sure. And actually, one of the things that it forced me to do was be much closer to my mom, because my dad was involved with another woman who he had counseled. And it was just a very sad scene. During that time, my brother said, it was my senior year at this point in college by this time. And my brother said, you need to get away and get with people who are believers and get some support here as a Christian. And he recommended that I come in my senior year to Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, which is so ho-dunk compared to anything that you'd find in California.
Yeah.
So got on a plane and went there. The airport itself was an enigma to me. It was like this little tiny strip and one plane on a little tiny plane coming in. It was everything I had never experienced. The rural, the community, the way it is. It's so tight when you're in a community and in the flyover country.
Yes.
We know it better than the people who live in the New Yorks and Californias, but it was new to me.
Flyover states, as one country singer called it.
Yeah.
And I grew up in that flyover state in the southern part of Indiana.
Did you? Oh, that's great. You've got a good heritage then.
Lots of corn.
You're a Hoosier.
Yes, I am.
So I went ahead and planted my feet there at Taylor for that senior year. And I met my husband-to-be, not knowing it was going to be my husband. And I was at an event that was really a calling of God in terms of Taylor having Dave Burnham there, who was from Ohio, and he was the lead pastor of the chapel on Fir Hill. It was Spiritual Emphasis Week. That's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And one night on Taylor's campus, in the midst of all this, Dave preached, and I was leveled. I was leveled by God and really shown that, no, you haven't accepted me. It was your father you followed, and you're mad and you're angry, and this isn't necessary because I won't leave you. I won't desert you. I won't destroy your life.
Mm-hmm.
And under that time, Howard and I took a long walk and went into this very small chapel that isn't even there anymore. They've, rebuilt much of the campus there.
Sure.
And it's beautiful. But we went into this little tiny chapel, and I went right to the altar, and I prayed for God to forgive me and to receive me as his child. And that was an amazing time, and to remove the bitterness that I had from my father, because I really was angry with him.
Do you feel when you look back on that would really be the first time that you really had a serious, real encounter with God, with the earlier times that you mentioned as a child and attending services where you go to the altar? Would that pale in comparison to what happened to you at this
time? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, Mike. It did in such a way that I know I was performing the other times for my father. I was performing. I was doing what he would be touched to see, or what my mom would, you know, take the hand of somebody near her and say, there goes Jill. This is really good. She, you know, this is good for her. But it wasn't. It really fooled me for a long time. And so when I heard Dave Burnham and he made it very clear what it was to follow Christ, I knew I wasn't following Christ. Mm-hmm. So it was, yeah, it was a very pivotal time in my life. And I'm so grateful that my brother insisted I go there. It was a good experience. I lived with the Davenports, Barb Davenport and Bob Davenport. He was a USC football player and an incredible person, an All-American player.
Mm-hmm.
And here they sat in Indiana, and I ended up kind of helping with their kids so that I could live and stay on, you know, on the grounds in essence. So it was a really good experience. Barb was such a wonderful mentor as a woman who, you know, came alongside of me and helped me grow spiritually. And then that last year I left, I went back to California. Howard is a year plus younger than I am, so I robbed the cradle, and he never lets me forget that.
Oh, that's funny.
And so I went back and spent 1 year in California waiting for Howard to finish school. We got married and immediately went to Youth for Christ, and that was our opportunity to serve the Lord together in a very meaningful way. And then after that, we basically had an opportunity to go back to Taylor for 7 years, did that, and our kids were born and raised there, so we have Hoosiers.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. We adopted a son after our first baby was born, our first Kari, and then we had a miscarriage before we adopted Douglas, and we're blessed to have a California boy because he was born in California. And then we had a third child unexpectedly, which was wonderful. God gave us that last gift of experiencing having a baby. And then Katie went to South Africa and brought us back two more daughters. And they're aww, just amazing. So we have Nongamso and Lusanda, and they're now through college and both married, and it's just really been a wonderful life.
I think people who are like you, who were raised in homes of a pastor, often encounter some of the very same things that you've described. And it is important that every child, regardless of whether their folks are in ministry or not, that they encounter the Lord themselves in a very specific, very personal way. I think that is exactly right. And it's a common tale, a sad one, but a common one, your story of what happened to you. But I'm also really encouraged by what looked like to you in the beginning, a small little community, maybe not exactly what you ever had in mind, but God had so many wonderful things prepared for you in landing in Taylor.
Right, right. It was exactly what I was to hear from my brother. My brother's very strong in his spiritual life, and God used him to get me out of that mess. And unfortunately, my younger sister had to remain in that, and it was very painful for her.
Yeah.
But we have sure come a long way as a family of siblings now, very close. And of course, both mom and dad are passed, and so, you know, it's a very different world for us now. We're the adults, and we need to stand in faith so that our kids really understand. And we have just celebrated 50 years of marriage, which I don't know. I think I was really young when I got married.
Well, Cindy and I just celebrated 44, so that does...
Oh, congratulations.
So we're not too far behind that. That's awesome. And I'm so excited that to hear the fact that God has redeemed that part of your life, which was hurt by the bitterness and the disappointment that can happen to our parents. But that is such, again, a very common thing that if we don't deal with it, if we don't allow the Lord to take that, it really does affect the rest of our lives and can impair us for the entire rest of our life.
Right,
so I'm really
right.
grateful to hear that God in his mercy gave you a way out of letting that go.
God gave me a verse as well, Mike. He gave me John 6:35, which says, "Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And I think that that was just so powerful for me to realize that God would never leave me. You know, he would never let me be hungry, and he would never let me be thirsty. I would always be satisfied in him. And that was really special for me.
What a wonderful verse that becomes a life verse. And, you know, that is something, isn't it, amazing about God's word, the way that it comes to life in our heart. And it's more than just a sentence. It's more than a paragraph. It's more than a thought. It becomes life and health and blessing to our lives, all who find his word. I love it. I'm talking today to Jill Taylor from Choose Life. And Jill is a radio host, and she's going to be joining the Shepherd lineup on the weekends. We're going to hear more about that and about her years of serving with women, especially in helping them make right life decisions. That's coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. We will be right back. I'm on the line today with Jill Taylor from Choose Life. And Jill, in segment one, was telling us that her dad, it kind of threw me in the beginning. You said your dad's name was Robert Schuler from California, and I'm instantly thinking Crystal Cathedral, but it's a different spelling and a different name,
a different ministry. We said in unison. Yes, it was, and it was confusing for many people. We'd get a lot of phone calls from someone who wanted to talk to the Robert S-C-H-U-L-E-R, and likewise, so we sent phone calls back and forth, but it was confusing, but the gospel really was being shared at Trinity and also in Santa Ana, and it was a great place to be at church, our church.
Well, if you just tuned in, friends, this is Jill Taylor, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike, and Jill is a radio host, and she's coming on the air with us, and it's going to be on October when the program debuts. On the 3rd at noon hour, and we're so excited to have this program. And Jill, I was amazingly shocked. I'm sure all of our listeners were as well to find out that this young-sounding voice has been married for 50 years. That's really exciting.
And well, my husband would tell you I keep it very, very well oiled by yelling all the time at him. Get up, do something.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, tell me what it is that happened in your life that gave you such a burden and a heart for life, especially helping ladies through the obstacles that they face.
And Mike, I hope this is a convicting message on this, because I knew nothing, really nothing, about abortion when we moved to Ohio. And I laid on a couch for about a week just crying because I didn't have any friends. I didn't know what I was going to do. And my husband, of course, had work immediately at a university here. And he'd come home and I'd just say, okay, tell me everything that everybody said to you today, because that's me. I just want to talk to people. I want to be in relationship with people. And so he found an opportunity for me to volunteer at a pregnancy center. At that time, it was called the Pregnancy Support Center of Stark County. Mm-hmm. And I could do a class on parenting. And so I said, yes, of course, I'll do that. And within 3 weeks of doing that, the board invited me to come on board. And I went to a meeting that was the worst meeting I've ever been in my life. Such anger, such hostility. And what I didn't know was they were getting ready to release their director. But I just left and I came home and said, I don't ever want to be on a board. It's horrible. There's so much pressure. And that night had two teams, is what it was, two teams fighting for opposite conclusions. Anyway, the following Monday, I got a call from a good friend of mine who had invited me to the board meeting. And she said, would you be willing to step in as an interim director? And I said, you know, I don't know anything about this. And she said, I know, but we'll help you and you'll learn. And there's a banquet coming up. So it so it was like jumping in to the hottest water and trying to say, yeah, I'm real comfortable here.
Wow.
So anyway, I did take the position on a temporary basis. And then, yeah, 19 and a half years later, I left.
That was quite a temporary time right there.
But it was so fun. It was so fun letting God teach me and really teach me through the experiences of women who had had an experience I never had. And it was just incredible to watch volunteers come in, to watch them be trained, to go to conferences like CareNet and Heartbeat and the many other places where you can receive great teaching on how to run a center.
Mm-hmm.
And I absorbed it all, loved it, just loved it. We grew from a little house on Main Street, kind of Cleveland Avenue, to I think we had five centers by the time I left, one of them being a House of Hope where people could go who had had an abortion for kind of a recovery ministry. And it was all biblical, beautifully written, and walk through, you know, your choices and what God can do with that. So loved it. I just loved it.
When you look back on this, how has the landscape changed now? Today, as opposed to what it would have been 20 years ago when you first started?
Wow. It's changed probably in some really good ways. They're much more focused on medical. The organization I was with, almost immediately, we were trying to do medical at all five locations, at all four locations. And instead, they made a clinic that they named Eva Clinic, and it's all medical, so that when they walk in the door, they get a pregnancy test, they get a counselor assigned to them. If they're far enough along for an ultrasound, they can get an ultrasound that day, which is so powerful because the ultrasound allows them to hear the baby's heartbeat. It allows them to, sometimes see the child if they're that far along. So it was quite an opportunity to work there and to recognize the growth that's taken place since I left. I love it.
When I think back to people like yourself that's worked and the emphasis being at these pregnancy centers, and I love the fact that I was able to be a part. I too was on a board up in Gainesville with a group called CIRA. And, of course, this radio show is going on WTMN in Gainesville.
Oh,
and I'd like to
cool.
say a big hello to all my friends over at CIRA. I love the opportunity that I had to be a part.
And thankful to them for what they're doing there. That is, it's awesome that they're standing up for life.
Yes, they're doing it. And I think they're seeing the very same thing that you're just talking about, a big emphasis going on with regards to the medical benefit that they're able to bring to people when they come in. And that, too, is something that's going on there, as it is here. I serve on a different group of people. One of the ladies I've had on the show, when you do come to Orlando, you'll have to meet Vicky over at Choices, a group that is here in Orlando that does the same kind of work. And it's really wonderful to see these people come together and all of them having a heart. One thing that I wanted to bring up that I do so love and when it happens and I see it in you, you have a heart not only for the fact that that's an unborn life that is in the womb, but you also care about the people, the mom that is affected by that. And there's no way you couldn't be, just from talking to you, to have a real heart and a real love to see that person who may well have been hurt and broken in a different way than what you had been. But sometimes those hurts lead some people down a path of decisions that they really don't need to make and are later regret making.
Right, right. And I'll include the men on that.
Absolutely.
Mike, because many times men will step up and want to step up, and the girl says, "No, I'm having an abortion," and they're totally left out. Our culture is really interesting. We have no room for them to make a statement in terms of, "I would care for this child. My parents and I will raise this child." That's not going to be heard. But after the fact, then our government says you will pay half of what it takes to raise this child. So it's a unique look at the situation instead of really looking at what if we did have a family unit. What if we did have someone who said, "Let me take care of the child until you're ready. If you aren't ready, that's okay. My mom and dad will help. Whatever." You know, I think women find themselves, especially women who perhaps find themselves a little promiscuous. They're not even sure who that father is sometimes, mm-hmm. and they don't understand that is a gift that God gave you, and probably to help you move along in a whole different way. You know, having a child makes you a different person.
It certainly does.
Yeah, sensitive. You're all of a sudden you really care about someone more than you care about yourself, and that's the clue.
I think one of the things that needs to be said about that is that it makes you a different person, even if that child is aborted. The mom mm-hmm. is never ever the same again.
Right.
And I have done enough counseling as a pastor of women who have gone through abortions to let you know that the guilt, you don't hear about that. And that's where the story, the movie Unplanned, mm-hmm. was so powerful with Abby Johnson, I believe was her name, who was the real life. Mm-hmm. She was depicted very accurately in the movie. But the whole thing of abortion is not told. The whole story is not out there, mm-hmm. even for people who are working in the system. They often don't know the entire story. And,
right.
And that mom that goes through that is so hurt later and empty and naturally.
We have a great interview with Abby Johnson on Choose Life Radio. If you go to ChooseLifeRadio.com, you will be able to hear her testimony and what a difference it made in her life when people cared enough to gently, kindly continue to say, "Hey, we're here again today. Yes, we're standing on the sidewalk. We're not on your property. We really care about you, Abby, and we really care about those women who are going in, and we care about the lives." And that's a powerful story. It's powerful.
Mm.
So, yeah. I'd love to have you check it out when you get a minute.
Go ahead and give us the website again for that.
It's ChooseLifeRadio.com. And then it's in our podcasts. All of the interviews that we have done over the last year and some months are on that. We also talked with Dr. Levantino, who is the doctor who is in that film. He was an abortionist. He did 1,200 abortions during his service. And then he and his wife met Christ. Oh, powerful story.
That's such a great story.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank God for his grace, because you know, again, when people come and they realize the level of wrongness in their life, the level of brokenness, the level of guilt, it's great, and it's great for everybody. I'm so thankful that the word puts us all in the same category. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short
Absolutely.
Of the glory of God. But the great news for somebody, even like that doctor, that no matter how many abortions, no matter what, the grace of God is sufficient for him.
Yeah.
And I can tell you're a person that loves the grace of God.
I do love the grace of God. But for me, you know, I appreciate so much what God has done for me to change me. To grow me, to let me fall in love with him and with Jesus Christ in such a way, and to have a husband who partners with me is just a blessing. I know it's a blessing. I know this is a tough world, and I watched it in my own parents' lives. But boy, to be committed and to live through the years that are tough, I can just make a statement to all who might be listening. It's always going to be worth it if you stay and you work on your issues. And it's not a bad thing to go see a counselor. That's a good thing, because you actually hear some things that you need to hear from someone who's watching from the outside. So,
you know, I think something is worth saying that I have never learned, and I don't think anybody ever learns completely. We have to be reminded of this in our life, that it's never too late to come back to the Lord. It's never too late and to come and ask for the mercies of God. The Bible says,
right,
His mercies are new every morning. And that's something that sometimes people can get in the frame of mind in a direction. I know I'm tempted with the same thing myself, to think, oh, I really blew it on that one. It can't be redeemed.
Uh-huh.
That's just not true. And we have to remind each other. And that's why programs like your program is so important, because that is a reminder to think differently, to point ourselves in a different direction, just like you found in your own life. Uh-huh. Going a different direction was the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yes. Yeah. Amen and amen to that. I love it.
My guest today is Jill Taylor. Now, we're going to be talking in our last segment about her program, what caused her to have a heart to go on the air, and also to have these programs set as a podcast on demand listening. And boy, what a day of technology we live in.
Uh-huh.
This is so wonderful to have a resource like this. And friends, I hope you can stay with us for the next segment coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. On the line today, Jill Taylor. Jill is a radio host and has been doing work with women in crisis pregnancy centers with a heart to help them, with a heart to preserve life, with a heart to see the life of God come into the people that she works with, and now in radio, the people that she shares with. And what an exciting thing. You know, Jill, I don't know what the beginnings for you, but many people would have said, boy, that radio's changing, and the whole concept with all the choices, speaking of choices, with entertainment choices and cable TV and podcasting and all of that. But I tell you what, we're seeing radio have a wonderful role, and
right,
it's happening with you as well. And then our show is the same thing. Our show turns into a podcast after it hits the air. But I love the on air, the live happening right then on terrestrial radio, because people pick us up in the most unexpected ways, the most unexpected places. And God speaks to people. They're as surprised as anybody when the voice of the Lord speaks through that radio to them. Jill, tell us about what happened in your own life to give you a vision and a burden to go into radio.
Well, it's kind of interesting. My husband does consulting, and he was on his way to Indiana, driving from Ohio, early in the morning when he got this real call from God saying, this is what I'd love for you two to do a radio program. And he called me at about 5:30 in the morning and said, Jill, I think God wants us to do a radio program. And I said, honey, you are crazy. There's no way we're going to do a radio program, which is, you know, that it's the difference between Howard and myself. I am a person who thinks it has to be more logical than that, than God told you. And Howard says, no, God told me. So I had some time to ferment on that thought. And when he came home from his trip, I said, you know what? I really felt at that time that it was a calling. We needed to do this. So we got involved with just getting a program together called Choose Life Radio. And the reason I thought that was a great name for it was because I had been in the life industry of working mostly with abortion issues. Well, what happened after that, probably 2 full months after we started, we had a real tragedy in our family. And our son and his wife were on our boat out on a large lake with their two boys, Afton 7 and Boyd 5. And they were slowly pulling out from the beach, and they were in no wake water, and little Afton asked if he could drag on the boat, which is easy to do. We had a stepladder that has slats in it because it's a ski boat. And so his daddy nodded and said, you know, yes to the wink that he got from Afton. And they were driving very slowly. And what happened is he hovered over where the fumes were coming from the engine. And so he died of asphyxiation slipped away, literally slipped away. And Boyd said, Daddy, where's Afton? And Doug turned around and just cried out and went crazy. He just went crazy. Turn the boat around, turn it around. Don't be careful where you go. You don't want to hit, it was like just panic. And Chrissy, of course, is scared to death. And we get this call from them. And he said, Mom, Dad, come down now. And Howard thought it was a joke because they had been arguing about how many life vests were on the boat. And Doug said, Afton didn't have a life vest on. And so Howard said, oh, are you giving me a hard time about the life vests? Howard passionately said, Dad, I've got to have you come down now, and sobbing. So we got in the car, and we made an hour and a half drive in an hour. My California driving kicked in, and we got down there, and it was almost dark, and they were just about to give up on trying to find the body. And Chrissy was stoic and quiet and just holding her arms around her. Boyd was being held by another person I didn't even know, and Doug was so distraught. He was on the ground just pounding sand, and then he'd stand up and he'd just scream out and anything but able to cope at that moment. So we held him. We walked up to Chrissy and hugged her and asked, what can we do, sweetie? And she said, would you take Boyd home? This isn't good for him. And so we wrapped him up in his blanket, and he came home with us and spent the night. And and after that, we went back the next morning, not with Boyd. He stayed with his cousins, and they found his body about six or seven feet down in the lake, but not at the bottom, and retrieved it. And we all, the family, got a chance to meet the coroner over at a different place on the lake, and we were driven there with a police escort. And we got to see his little white void body at that point. He was just, of course, dead. Mm-hmm. And it just gave an incredible heartfelt thing of understanding life in a different way. Mm. And so the ministry quickly became a story about life, whether it's suicide, whether it's hating your life because you don't know the Lord, whether it's life physical or life spiritual. We really try to look for those kinds of experiences on the radio because they're so real to so many people. And the interesting thing is I've never told this story on our radio program. I'm interviewing others. Mm-hmm. So it's been, the tears that you can hear me having are real. Mm-hmm. To talk about this story is very difficult. But we have celebrated a year without Afton in the sense that we as a family came together at his gravesite and thanked God for who he is in all of this and how he can redeem this. And interestingly, they didn't have, of course, gravesites for their child yet. And so we found a place that was close to where Howard's parents had just been buried just months ago, before the accident. And she said, but I don't want him to be alone. And Howard and I looked at each other and I said, honey, we have not gotten plots and we're getting older. So, mm-hmm. So we got three plots. And I said, whatever you do, don't put him in the middle. I want to be next to Howard. And she said, no problem. This is plot 5, 6, and 7, and he's 7 years old. We'll put him there. Well, when they buried him right smack in the middle, and I couldn't be happier. I think to have each of our bodies on this, on each other's side, we'll enjoy that, of course, in heaven when when God laughs at us about this. But yeah, very special thing. It changed everything on the radio. It changed everything. My passion got deeper. My questions got more pointed. I was looking for stories that really had the relief of what God can give when we go through the worst of things in this world, knowing that this world isn't what God wanted us to have. We chose this world. We chose to lie. We chose to steal from the tree that we weren't supposed to choose from. And and we have continued that. So this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That old song, I love it.
You know, Jill, when I'm sitting here listening to you tell this story and identifying, we lost our own son through his, it was the birth that lasted 9 hours, and he was with us, and he passed away on Father's Day of 1982. And there is a lot of details as to why, but God used that. I'm sitting listening to your story and remembering that, but thinking scripturally of the story about the alabaster box that was broken at the anointing of Jesus when the woman broke that box and poured out that oil, and how that sometimes it's the breaking. It's the breaking of something very, very precious, very valuable that releases something of a fragrance up before the Lord, and it goes out from that. And sometimes that breaking changes everything about our lives, changes everything about the direction. And that's clear that his death, the breaking of the hearts. Oh, I know that had to be so hard on your on Ashton's dad, who made the decision to let him do that. You know, God help him, and God's mercy, I know, is there for him as well. But I tell you what, these things, they change, but we will one day look back at them and we'll say, that was a significant moment for many, many people. And think about all of the lives of people who are going to be impacted because of his death and how his death changed you.
And it started that night. I never even thought about it, but it started that night with every person around us watching. The firemen that were, and the people who were going back through the woods, Chrissy said, maybe he walked, maybe he could swim. And she said, I don't understand that we didn't hear him call. We didn't hear him splash, you know. And she said, maybe he swam to the shore and is in the woods. And those people just combed the woods. And then when I went back to them and said, she really thinks that he could be in the woods, they went right back out and did it again. Just the generosity of people who are willing to be there for you, you know, and God sends those people. Absolutely. What a gift he gives us in that moment of need. So
now you've ministered, I'm sure, to people, to families, and you hear about this often. A very sad growing trend in our country is that of suicide. When someone, for whatever reason, becomes so hopeless, so lost in their own anxieties or stress or whatever is the cause, and they take their own life. And that is becoming more and more, it's a sad tale, but it's becoming a much more common occurrence in our country. I'm sure you've had your share of talking to people who have been in that situation as well.
Yes, we have. It's a difficult conversation because it hurts so badly. When someone takes their life, you think of all the places you should have been, could have been, words you should have said, could have said. And yet we are not in control of those decisions. Those are decisions that come from panic and fear and loneliness. And so what we can be aware of is people who don't have that vibrant relationship with a family or that vibrant relationship with close friends, that we become a friend, that we become someone that they can trust to say, I just hate my life. I just hate myself. And when that happens, it's our opportunity to point out all the wonderful things that God has given them that they don't even recognize. I think one of the best things to say to someone is, oh, I couldn't be in this world without you. Come on now. I love you. And they're shocked. They're shocked that someone would say that, but they didn't hear it before. So if we can love with that kind of unconditional love, we will have a better world for sure.
And the families that are left behind, you know, if that person who is might even be listening right now, who is giving serious consideration, serious thought to taking their life. Oh, I'm praying right now that they can get a hold of the fact that what you just said, there are people who do love and don't give in to the lie, don't give in to the thought, the kind of way of thinking that says there's no value to life, because there's great value to life. There's great hope. There's great change. There's so many ways God redeems past mistakes and brings a surprise that one would never, ever think possible. That's just the way God is. He does that.
God is truth and God is life. And Satan is evil and lies and death. Death. That's what he wants. And when we yield to him, he is one happy Satan. You know, he thinks he's done it again. What he doesn't know is the redemption of God. Even in the aftermath, God can redeem that experience. And so we trust God with it. Not our judgment. Doesn't have to be our call. It is just do what we can to be there for people who are hurting and are lonely. And yes, more than ever now, with people who are sequestered and alone and in bad situations, you know, we must be reaching out. Teachers who know they have kids who are in homes that are difficult, they must reach out to those kids, you know, and say, hey, can I take you for an ice cream cone? You know, let's just get out and you can drive with me. I'm safe. I don't have COVID, you know.
Right.
Yeah, whatever it takes, we need to be very, very aware right now.
Well, your radio program offers help like that to people. And tell us, how did it happen to where I know on the first day you're with us, I understand that the guest that's scheduled to be on the program is Tony Evans, a man that we love and, oh, just so appreciate. I had a chance to meet Dr. Evans in February at the NRB, and he's a guy obviously greatly loved by just everyone who's ever heard of him or knows about his ministry. How did you go from having this heart to share the great life that we're able to have in Christ to now you're interviewing people like Tony Evans, Abby Johnson? How did that happen?
You know, I think that that's God's hand. I really do. And once you meet someone, they kind of beget the next few people as they talk. So Kristen Hawkins is a wonderful leader of a ministry that's for students, and in colleges, and she has a worker that works with her that's just incredibly powerful in her ministry. And so each time those people tell me of someone else that, you know, that I can get to know. And, you know, then I'm a surfer of white pages, premium white pages. And so there, it's really hard to hide yourself because the premium white pages does give you every number. When we did Rick Santorum, they have a precious little girl that they care for as their whole family with special needs. And when I got his phone number, I called it and he answered the phone. And I said, Rick, is this you? He goes, yes, who's this? Oh, well, I'm Jill Taylor, and I just start right in. And then he was willing to do an interview with me. So it's getting the message across that I want to talk to you about life, and I want to talk to you about what an incredible job you guys are doing as a family. So, but I want you to share that with people. And I love the story. I love the story. And so you had me at hello on that when I get someone who's willing to talk about their story.
Oh, that's
great.
And
I do very little talking, I promise.
Well, you're a very good talker. You're very interesting. We've got just a minute left. Tell us again the website to how people can connect with your past programs.
Yes, it's chooseliferadio.com. So all one word, no spaces. That's the website. And at the website, you can go under podcasts and see and listen to every single interview that we've done up to this point. You can also hear it on lots of radio stations. We're on 197 radio stations across the United States. We're so excited to be adding Florida. So excited about that.
Well, we're
happy.
I want
to warn you, Tony Evans probably will be the second week that we're on. Kurt Condrich will be on, I believe, the first week, and he's phenomenal. He's all about Down syndrome. It's a wonderful story. But I don't get to interview Tony until the 29th, and it's just too hard to turn that around for our engineer. So, and again, get it out to the stations.
Well,
so
we look forward to hearing it whenever it comes, and I'm so grateful for you. Can't say enough how excited we are to have Jill Taylor and the Choose Life Network represented on our Shepherd stations. So you're going to be hearing more. Her commercial's already playing, the promo for this. And it's going to be here before we know it, the 3rd of October.
I know.
And it's going to be right around the corner. Jill, thank you for being with me today on the program.
I'm delighted to have been with you, and I really consider you a very close friend. We'll visit when we're in Florida.
Please do. We're looking forward to it.
Hugs to your precious wife.
Thank you, Jill. And we have had such a great time here today, but friends, we're out of time. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio Network.